Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy F. Solomon with the Global Product Management Talk, coming to you live today on April 2nd, 2012. I am delighted to be joined today by Lori Stewart, whom I met last week at the Global Technology Symposium. She's the COO and Head of Corporate Development at eThor.com, which was named the most innovative startup on the planet. And also our co-host, Elizabeth Quintanilla, who has been a previous speaker, who is joining us from Austin, Texas.
Oh, hi.
Elizabeth.
Well, welcome to the show.
Very happy to be here.
Great. The Global Product Management Talk is a weekly mini product camp Socratic discussion with pre-posted questions. This is a live audio with our thought leader and co-host. We are brought to you this week by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, which was founded in 1998, promotes worldwide excellence in product management education, provides product management educational conferences, regional conferences, and certifications for Agile Certified Product Manager, Certified Product Manager, Certified Product Marketing Manager, and they are leading the way with developing the ProdBoss, the Product Management Body of Knowledge. Please check them out at www.aipmm.com. Today we are discussing Ideas to Innovation with Lori Stewart, who is the COO and Head of Corporate Development at eThor.com, ethor.com, and founder at the Awesome Foundation in Calgary. She's delighted but not surprised that eThor beat out 2,000 startups around the world to win the title of 2012's most innovative startup on the planet at the Global Technology Symposium in Silicon Valley last week, March 28th. As a lifelong product person, she maintains that the secret for success is simply having the right product ideas at the right time with the right team in place to execute. Do you think it's simple? I do not. She says that we must think big and work with great people. That is the key. On her website, she quotes Albert Einstein, "Imagination is more important than knowledge. However, everyone has ideas, so how do you distinguish the great ideas and then harness them into actionable goals and scalable business?" Lori provides leadership and consulting for innovative thinking, idea generation, and business case planning, as well as pitch coaching and guidance on branding, strategic planning, on software product development and process implementation. And she loves to focus on new ideas and turn the impossible into the possible. Her Twitter description reads, "Software startup business geek, angel mentor, investor, purveyor of awesomeness, and founder of Awesome Foundation Calgary, as well as procrastinating author." Lori started a robotic and automation software company in the mid-90s prior to moving to Silicon Valley to build and launch eBay Canada and eBay International. As part of the president's advisory team, eBay community team, and heading up the eBay International team, she was on the team that launched eBay around the world by acquiring local players, building greenfield sites, and strategic partnerships that enabled the type of growth that other companies can only dream of. Since the wild days of eBay, she's been involved in numerous startups and strategic consulting gigs in California, Toronto, Israel, and Calgary, and helped get the Calgary mayor elected from obscurity to landslide victory in late 2010. She is now the COO and Head of Corporate Development of the upstart startup eThor.com, which provides a two-way communication layer to connect mobile devices to the point-of-sale system of any retailer and for consumers to connect back to that POS system as if they were in the store. It is the revolution of e-commerce to local commerce. So you can follow us on Twitter at ProdMGMTTALK. More information about the Global Product Management Talk can be found at www.prod.com. MGMTTALK.com. A bit about Elizabeth Quintanilla. She is a positive, people-oriented, and performance-driven marketing gunslinger, consultant, and speaker who focuses on understanding the customer perspective. She consults on market research, messaging, channel strategies, understanding the impact of emerging business trends, web technologies, and strategy, social and product marketing. Elizabeth actively serves as a commissioner on the Austin Community Technology and Telecommunications Commission, and she is tweeting at eQuintanilla.
You got it 100% right.
Great. That's eQuintanilla. Lori is tweeting from Lori19Stewart. That's LORI19STEWART. And I am tweeting from at Pod Management Talk, PRODMGMTTAOK. If you'd like to know anything about myself, Cindy F. Solomon, check out my website at CindyFSolomonAllO's.com. That is our introductory remark. We do have some questions about where do you look to find great ideas, how do you nurture them, how do you encourage them to flourish, and really, how do you take an idea and turn it into a business that not only is a good business, but a great business. You were quoted, Lori, as saying that a great idea is one that not only makes money, but also makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that great introduction, Cindy. That was something. And I'm pleased to be here with you today, with you and Elizabeth, just talking about product and customers and ideas and how we support innovation. We're in an exciting time right now. I think we're on the cusp of another big technology change. And if the world is changing, and I think there's a lot that we can be involved in to help bring ideas to life.
Excellent. I met Lori last week at the Global Technology Symposium, which was an investment conference on venture capital, technology, and entrepreneurship in emerging markets. You were representing Ethor as a Canadian company.
Correct. Yeah, we were. Apparently, there were over 2,000 companies from around the world that were under consideration, and this wasn't something that you applied to be at. It was all apparently done in secret, and we were told about a month before the symposium that we had been selected to represent Canada. So it was quite an honor. So the top 13 companies were selected to present, so they whittled that 2,000 down to 13. And those 13 companies presented the morning of March 28th, and then that panel decided which were the top five that would continue on to pitch to another panel of judges in the afternoon. And it was in the afternoon that we were selected as the Global Innovation Award winner for 2012.
That is amazing. I didn't realize that you were invited to present. Mm-hmm. That's even an honor right there that they sought you out.
Yeah, just to get the invitation was phenomenal. So we didn't come into this with any hopes of winning it, but we're certainly thrilled that we did.
So I was thinking, what a great marketing team you must have to get that level of interest. But
marketing team. It would be nice if we had a marketing team. We're a startup.
So actually that brings a good point. How did you make yourself known to the selection committee? A general form that you had to fill out, or did you just...
No, there was nothing. They, I guess, had been keeping their eye on companies from around the world that they thought were worthy of consideration and then contacted us. Now, that's not to say that we were a sleepy startup in a garage somewhere. We won Accelerate Alberta, which gave us... we were selected over 70 other companies in the province of Alberta, Canada, to win that event, and then that gave us 3 months space from the Canadian consulate down here at Plug and Play in Sunnyvale, California. And then after that, we were here for a month in September. We went back to Canada and we presented at the Banff Venture Forum, which is the largest finance forum in Canada, and we won that event as well. So, you know, we'd had a little bit of PR, but we've been in stealth mode, just working on gaining traction in the market and making sure our product market fit was perfected, and then getting partners, industry partners as well. So we've been kind of laying low since those two big wins in August and September last year, and have just been making a lot of inroads on the product and on the business side. So I guess they've been watching us.
Case study for product market fit. For if you have a good product, it will get known or it will get attention on its merit.
Exactly. So you were able to build on your own merit for your technology, and everybody was able to see the value on your business presentation. So are these similar to other business startup events? Because we have frequently, at least once a month, a pitch event. Are those events a little, how should I say, you have to be more established than just just a pitch?
Yeah, these are way more than a pitch. I personally run a lot of pitch events that are very ad hoc and for very, very early stage startups that are really just an idea. And it's funny because one of the first questions we want to talk about was where do you find or where do you look for great ideas? No, these are much more advanced. The one at Banff, we're up against, you know, clean tech and biotech companies and oil and gas ventures and things like that. So they're pretty well established later stage pitch event where there's VCs in attendance that are actually looking for deal flow.
They're the next level of startup where the product is already out there, they already have customers, they're ripe for investment or VC, early stage anyway.
Definitely early stage, yeah. And at the point where we were in both of those events, we were only at seed funding, early angel. We're just about to open our first A round in the next month. So we're still very early, but we do have revenues and we do have customers and we do have partners. So it's not 1999 anymore. You actually have to have a business plan and some good business principles. You can't just have an idea.
Well, speaking of which, it's interesting why I was excited when I saw the first presentation about ESOR is because I had been with a startup 10 years ago that was trying to do the same thing, but we couldn't connect with the point of sale. We couldn't connect with the back-end inventory. So it's very exciting that so much of the technology and broadband and everything else is in play. But it was a great idea then. The timing wasn't right for the idea.
Yeah, and Cindy, you bring up a tremendously valuable point there is that the market timing has to be right. You can have the best idea in the world, but if the market timing isn't right, you're going to be too early, burn through a lot of money paving the way for people to follow you, or there is just no market for your product yet because the market hasn't been established.
Yeah.
And I fell into that with a previous startup where we were doing micropayments for the MMOG world back before anyone knew what micropayments or the MMOG world were. And that's kind of how you learn your intuition through all of this is that, okay, you might have a fabulous idea, but if the market isn't ready yet, then your fabulous idea won't go anywhere.
Did that industry grow or did it just become digital, not even money payments, rewards and other things, badges?
It became an awful lot of things. So many factors in the market changed, a lot to do with how Visa works as well. Back when we had that startup, it was basically a 69-cent fee plus the 3.9 or 2.9%, so that a 25-cent transaction or a 99-cent music download wasn't a viable opportunity. Visa certainly changed their fee structure, but we were looking at aggregation and things like that so that you could build basically a wallet and decrement it. But the online payments world has come so far in the last 10 years. What we thought was a market opportunity has really taken a different path.
Right, and now we're seeing startups trying to disrupt PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and PayPal has its own strategy in trying to disrupt the world of Visa.
Actually, this brings me up to a good point. How did you find your first customer? Because we all know that whenever you have a great business idea, the proof of concept is your first customer engagement.
Mm-hmm. So are we talking ESOR at this point?
Yeah, ESOR.
Yeah, ESOR was an evolution of an existing consulting company. And that's a very good point, is that you find market opportunity by pushing up against barriers. So the founder, Gary Ziegler, had a consulting business doing online ordering and sort of websites for fast food restaurants. And he had feedback from customers that kept saying, well, geez, I've got two or three different point of sale systems across my franchises, and there's no way to connect them all. So it's great to do all this online ordering, but my data doesn't actually connect. So he got thinking about it and realized that, you know, the big opportunity in solving this point of sale fragmentation problem. I don't know if listeners are aware that the point-of-sale industry is about as fragmented as the U.S. banking industry. They all do just about the same thing with similar data, but none of them speak to each other. It's a huge problem in the market, and it's not a sexy app problem to solve, right? It's a dirty infrastructure, hard work problem to solve. But what it does is it enables an entire market on top of it. So that's where our sort of opportunity came from. Gary realized this, patented the common data model on top of it, and we've been going ever since. So we got a number of beta customers. And what was really interesting with that, my franchise out of Seattle called Garlic Jim's, we increased their sales by $1.37 million during our beta phase. So that pretty much proved the concept. And, you know, then we've just been working on how to define our sales strategy since then. And we've come up with something pretty innovative that I really won't go into here, but that it has allowed us to really leap ahead in the market. And we're starting to really gain traction quickly now.
After your first customer and after your first case study, and you already kind of pointed out your first person in the company was a tech person, but for an ideal startup when you're going on this journey, who would you say is the best team?
Go back to your point a little bit, but Gary Ziegler, our founder, actually has an undergrad in economics and then went to do a technical degree after that with the idea of taking his business background, then building a technology company. So he was very focused on what he wanted to do. Myself, I have a background in economics and business as well, along with a technical degree. So that seems to be a good fit for us. But when you're looking at a team, I like to reiterate all the time that technology is technology. It's always changing. But business is business is business, and business principles never change. So fabulous technology, but if you have no business around, no business to actually drive it forward, then it probably won't.
How do you see yourself? Because one thing that's very popular in Austin is the food trailer. Like, literally, it's an RV that serves food, and they always are needing help, and they're always, how shall I say, needing to do more with less. How would you go try to approach this fragmented market? Because I would love to just order my food ahead of time so I don't have to stand in line for my barbecue sandwich during South by Southwest.
Exactly. That's what we do. We provide a queue jumping mechanism as well so that you can find the information from a point of sale system on your mobile device and be able to transact directly back to it. So your specialty coffee, you could pull it up on your phone, order and pay for it, be able to pick it up. Food trucks are huge in Calgary right now too. And we're talking about doing...
Okay, so that's your next, how shall I say, market segment?
Not it. That would just be something fun. And that it would be great, though, because it does solve that need. Our market entry strategy is we're in the pizza and quick serve markets first, and then the bigger retail there shortly. Food trucks are just part of that quick service segment.
So you have a whole roadmap I hear you referencing.
Yeah. So I'm a big believer in big, hairy, audacious goals. And I think a lot of this came from my early days at eBay, where we set very large goals. And we achieved very big things in very short amounts of time. So you live on a very accelerated roadmap. There's a fire under your feet all the time. And once you live in that adrenaline-filled kind of world, it's hard to leave it. So you look for that again in your next venture. With Ethor especially, we've set very, very high goals, big, hairy, audacious goals that we're trying to achieve. And then the roadmap is just basically a guide to help us get there. You know, we've got our business roadmap that falls into our development roadmap, our product roadmap, which puts us on the path to where we want to go. And it's funny that I have a meeting following this to talk about our whole product development life cycle and how we need that in place as a growing company to achieve your goal. I am a huge fan of process, but only I don't like to work within process very often, process in the U.S. very often. But if you don't have a process in place, you don't know when you're working outside of it. So you have nothing to
keep you moving forward.
And it's always fine to work outside of process and fast track things. You have to have an avenue for that. You don't know when those things are happening.
And it gives you a benchmark to know whether you're on target and to measure the success. I think that people fear having too much planning in place because it will keep them from being creative or keep them from iterating.
Exactly. And it's everything in moderation, right? And you use it as a tool, not as a punishment. Yeah, you have to be able to stay nimble and move the company forward and be able to react to the changes in the market. The processes that you implement shouldn't impair you from doing that. They have to guide your business, not stymie it.
Okay, this actually brings up a good point. So innovation, people talk about like fast innovation, big innovation, or small micro innovation, like small little segments that lead up to a big innovative idea. What is your take on Ethor?
I like them all.
I think it's a big idea whose time has come.
I thought you were asking what are my thoughts on which ones of those I prefer.
And where does Ethor fit in the...
Yeah, Ethor is a revolution, not an evolution, I would say, because we begin to enable an entire new industry on top of us. So it gives a place for all of those apps that help businesses and help consumers shop. It gives them a way to tie right back into the retailers and create that whole online to offline commerce industry that's starting to emerge.
We always have restrictions in our business. And what do you think about the current mobile backhaul system? Is that going to impact Ether?
The mobile backhaul?
Yeah, like we're always going to be AT&T's of the world have to account for bigger amounts of data traffic and put infrastructure in place. Do you think that's going to affect Ether or do you get to grow with it?
I think the cloud has really solved a lot of that problem. Carriers have their own sets of problems. I mean, I think that apps are changing the way the carriers are operating. They're actually less dependent, that apps are less dependent on the carriers than they used to be. But that's not something we're hugely focused on at this point in time because other people have solved that for us. We're truly just an infrastructure layer. We're not out there to solve all the problems. We're out there to be kind of a bridge between, we're kind of like the bridge and the clover leaf, right? And we've got two sets of customers on either side of the river, and we just connect them to each other.
Excellent. We touched a little bit upon the team, and you were discussing the background that the team really needs, at least the founding team, needs to be well-versed in what the issues are, and that the CEO was quite intentional in getting an economics degree and then a technical degree.
Mm-hmm.
So is this what you look for in terms of building out the team?
No. Well, not necessarily. What we look for in our personal team, number one quality is fearlessness. We want people who are not afraid to think big, act big, and bring big ideas to the table. And the other is that they've achieved something monumental in their life before, so they're not afraid of success. And, you know, it can be anything. It doesn't need to be in the technical arena. It just needs to be that you can set big goals and know how to reach them. So, but you need a strong tech team. I'm not saying that technology is not important. It is, because you have to build the product that suits those customers' needs enough to make them pay for it, right? Your customers have to be willing to pay for whatever it is you build, or you do not have a product. And a dev team is extremely important, and team fit is probably one of the most important aspects that will make or break a company. And if you don't have everybody moving together in the same direction, basically at the same speed, your energy is wasted and you won't be able to accelerate at the rate you need to.
So is that an issue, hiring nimbly enough but getting the right hire?
Yeah, and we're actually in that mode right now of hiring, and we're not having huge problem hiring. We seem to be pretty lucky at that. We seem to be able to find pretty good fit, which is a little, I wouldn't say unusual, but I was expecting it to be a little more difficult because in Calgary we have a very low unemployment rate. We're in the 3-4% rate, and it's oil and gas city, so wages are rather high, and as a startup we can't afford that. But we seem to be having pretty good luck in finding good team fit. And again, the skills are less important than the fit. Train anybody to do most of the things we need to, but their attitude is fit with the rest.
Awesome. I had no idea what the environment was in Calgary. You're totally protected from what the rest of the world is suffering. But
yeah, actually Canada's a little more protected than the U.S., but Calgary specifically, it's booming, unfortunately. Well, for us.
In terms of this team, what types of people are you hiring at the beginning? This is a discussion that we often debate. At what point does a startup need a product manager? And do startups need product managers? Because the CEO, by definition, is the product manager to start with.
So I believe product is the most important role in the company. I mean, that's the CEO of the product. And if there isn't good business rationale around the products you're building, then you won't have a viable business. So if the CEO has a product mindset, that's great. If the CEO then works with the dev team and it's a balance between, if you can find development people who have, good product skills, that's a bonus. The real risk is, leaving the entire business decisions in the hands of the developers. You may end up getting overbuilt products that you can never actually derive enough value from in the market to sell. So, and you hear me talking about sales all the time because you're in business to be in business. It's great to have a fun little startup, but if nobody is willing to value it enough to pay for it, again, it's not a business, it's a hobby. I can't reiterate that enough. Yeah, product management, if you've got product-minded people and everybody's wearing their product hat, that's great. When you grow and the focus needs to be specifically on the products, I mean, it's, again, what industry you're in, how fast you're growing, but right from the beginning there has to be somebody wearing the product management hat.
That's usually the CEO or the founder, because they have to also be able to define the product and sell the product.
Exactly. And if they don't have those skills, they should bring those skills in. And we're probably a little top-heavy in product. So Gary, the founder, has been very focused on the product. We've got a VP of development, Ray Yip, who is a very astute developer. He's got a good product eye, and he's got good UI experience as well. So he keeps the mind of the customer at hand. And myself being Uber product person. So we're pretty focused on that and seriously focused on the business. You know, the technology build is dictated by what the market needs are, so we just build to that. Yeah, I would say if you're going to make a mistake or if you're going to go out on a limb, put more business and product people on the team.
How did you come up with the Awesome Foundation Calgary?
Yeah, Awesome Foundation is it's my pet project. If I could spend my entire life working on something, it would be on Awesome. So Awesome Foundation was started by Tim Huang in Boston in the fall of 2009. And it's become this international movement of microphilanthropy. And we're really changing the way people look at how they give. But also, if 10 people together once a month, they have $1,000 to give out to one great idea.
So each the group has $1,000 to give to one great idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then we do a sort of Shark Tank, Dragon's Dance style. And then we give the $1,000 cash, no strings attached, on the spot to the winner. And that really is about believing in their ideas. You know, and my three core tenets, Calgary, are that people are basically awesome, that awesome ideas should be started, that collectively we can all do more than any of us can individually. That's the basic tenets of Awesome. And I think that those apply to any startup, to any business. You know, you believe in your people, believe in their ideas, and then you put the success factors in place to support them.
So do you feel that part of your role in a startup is to mentor people to grow in their careers while working in a startup?
I believe that that's part of our daily lives. I wouldn't be where I am without the mentors that have helped me get this far, and that's my thing. I like to help young people grow, and that's what I like about a startup is you can bring a young person in, give them a role that's, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep, figure out where their skills are, and then allow them to grow within that. And in a large corporation, you don't do that, right? You end up being hired into a very specific role that's very deep and very narrow, and your boss could be 2 years older than you and be terrified that you're going to take their job. You know, the beauty of working in a startup is that you do get to help define who you are and who you want to be when you grow up. That's my favorite part of startups, which is helping guide young people and young minds and exposing those great ideas.
Sounds wonderful. I think the people in Calgary are very lucky to have you in their community. I would love to connect the people in Austin who are like you with you in Calgary, and it would be fun to have a giant innovation chat one day.
I think we should do that. The more we can spread awesomeness, but just the sharing of ideas, the more we can spread that around the world, the better. Because, again, great ideas only get better when you share them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lori. This was a great start. I'd love to invite you to come back bring some of your Ethor colleagues and your Awesome Foundation people. We could do a whole show.
On Awesome. That would be great.
Yes, on Awesome. Elizabeth,
welcome.
Some great questions.
It's funny. I'll give you, because this is going out to product people, I'll give you my little analogy about apps. And we all love apps, right? We like to play on them, and they're great. But I say that apps are the yo-yos of 2012. They're fun. You get to play with them. You can show them to your friends. You can do a few tricks. But in the end, it's just a 99-cent yo-yo. It's not an industry. Right? The toy industry is an industry, but yo-yos themselves aren't. So if you can build something that is an industry that has sustainability, that has ongoing needs and grows with the market, then you've got a real business.
Excellent.
Sorry to any app developers out there, because they are cool and fun.
At a recent startup event I went to, it was all apps, and after a while it was annoying because I just thought all the brain power that is going into these fun things, that brain power could be solving much bigger problems and issues.
Yes, because apps are fun, right?
They are fun.
And they're immediate, and they're fast. You can make them pretty quickly. But like I say, they're the yo-yos of today.
They're almost like a cheeseburger out of the assembly line from McDonald's.
That's right. But that's not to say they're not cool.
But then they're not a company in and of themselves. I think that probably every company should have an app. It's just from where I'm looking, a means of distribution and delivery of the content.
Yeah, definitely. And we're here talking about business and how to grow a startup into a real business, right? And so that's where my focus is really on long-term evolution of an industry. You know, we didn't even touch on marketing at all this time, but, you know, I believe when you can own your market category, you set yourself up for a lot better success. So maybe that'll be our next
Definitely.
Own your market category.
Yes. Since Elizabeth and I are both marketing passionate people, we really contained ourselves.
Yes, we did. But I totally agree with you. You have a much better business if you own your own category.
Yes, and if you're about to fit into someone else's category, redefine it, make it your own. That let's make that our next discussion. I'd love that one.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Now you're all going to be saying awesome all the time. And you're going to think about how awesome it is to just give money away to people for their great ideas.
Ah, and you just demonstrated how you plant an idea, how you plant seeds.
I just think I need to add awesome at the end of every one of my tweets now. So let's just help spread the word awesome.
Oh, that's good fun. Well, very nice to meet both of you.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thank you for your time.
A great discussion.
You're still at Plug and Play, or do you actually have an office here in the Valley?
We're at Plug and Play. They've been so kind to us here, and we will be opening our permanent office here at some point in the next number of months. And we're on the lookout for more space in Calgary as well, because we're growing.
Excellent. So exciting. Delighted to have this time with you, and please join us again. Thank you to our audience now and on demand. This is Cindy F. Solomon with the Global Product Management Talk. Thank you again to this week's sponsor, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Please follow us at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK to be reminded of upcoming events. We will not have a talk next week, and we will be back on April 16th with Rich Marinoff, who is a Silicon Valley product management guru and who started the first product camp here in Silicon Valley 5 years ago. So please join us on April 16th. Please follow Laurie Stewart at Laurie19Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. Please check out the startup, ethor.com, E-T-H-O-R.com.
Ethor.com.
Ethor.com. Very exciting things coming from them, and excited to please follow Elizabeth Quintanilla at E-Q-U-I-N-T-A-N-I-L-L-A. She tweets about a lot of very interesting things from the Austin tech community. And this is Cindy F. Solomon signing off. Thank you again.